A happy Thanksgiving to any listeners who are tuning in from the USA. I know we have one or two in Alabama and a couple of other places. So a very happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And I hope you are able to have a special day despite the restrictions on our lives at the moment, which make the normal kind of Thanksgiving celebrations perhaps a little bit more challenging than usual. But you know what happens the day after Thanksgiving? It's Black Friday. And that means tomorrow is Black Friday, not just in the USA, but here in South Africa too. After a year of social isolation, a lot of people are feeling very hesitant about going back into stores and are wanting to avoid the kind of crush we are used to seeing outside store windows. And I think a lot of shops have taken that into account and have changed the way they do things this year. And they've made Black Friday sort of week-long, month-long specials rather than focusing it all on one day. One hopes that they are taking cognizance of social distancing requirements when they are planning for in-store activations tomorrow. But the bottom line is a lot of people are going to be shopping online this year. And that means online shopping is not only attractive to the shoppers, but also to the scamsters who are lying in wait to get their hooks into them. And in our personal finance segment today, we thought we would just take some time to talk about avoiding falling victim to the fraudsters and the thieves while you're trying to bag a bargain online. On the line with me is Dwayne Nickel, who is a cybersecurity expert at Mimecast and is going to chat to us a little bit about some of the big things to be aware of and look out for and be savvy to. Dwayne, great to have you on the show with us. Welcome.
Excellent. Thanks for having me, Pippa.
Before we talk about specific tips and tricks, I'm acutely aware that this is a year in which there are a lot of new online shoppers, Dwayne, people who didn't do it before but have been forced to adapt to online shopping because of lockdown. And they in particular might be easy targets for criminals because they simply don't know any better. Is that something that your sort of analysis of cybersecurity attacks in general has noted? Has there been an increase over lockdown?
Absolutely. So, you know, you kind of typically have a lot of people who are very hesitant to shop online, and being stuck in the four corners of your home, you know, for the larger period of the last 9 months, has meant that in general, most retailers have seen an actual increase from before lockdown for online shoppers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's obviously a huge incentive now for scam artists to take advantage of that, knowing that people will obviously be firstly more kind of open to shopping online, especially, you know, shopping online using work devices, because that's generally what guys are using them for.
Okay, that's a really important issue that you flagged there. More people connecting from home, more people connecting via VPNs and that sort of thing. You're saying that is an added layer of vulnerability.
Absolutely. So in a recent study, we did a kind of a piece of research around company-issued devices and what employees were doing with them. And, you know, almost 3 in 4 people mentioned that they were using them, you know, incredibly well for personal activity. So things like personal email, online transactions, etc. And as you say, you know, it absolutely adds another layer of vulnerability for an employer, because people now typically are working from home. Many employees, even myself, I'm still working from home, and some have gone back. But a lot that we've seen is people taking the kind of false sense of security from the home back to the office, and really giving IT and security people just an increased layer of work and kind of more things to think about as they try and protect the employee from doing something dangerous on a work-issued device.
Okay. Look, Dwayne, I'm smiling quietly because we get sent regular little videos reminding people about saving passwords and not clicking on links from emails. It's clearly something our IT team takes very, very seriously, and you can understand why. I think one of the misconceptions, Dwayne, is a lot of people think, well, nobody's want to hack into my accounts or steal from me because I'm a small fry. I haven't got a lot of money in my savings account. I'm not worth the effort to hack. Is that a problem? I mean, is everybody potentially a target?
Well, I'm glad to hear that you guys are part of the 11% of our respondents that said they get annual or monthly awareness training. So that's definitely good. on the other hand, though, you know, you mentioned things like awareness training, and that's a typical area of concern that many companies just don't know how to overcome. Typically, because you know, employers don't see themselves as the biggest risk. You know, they're like, oh, why would anyone want to hack my personal account? You know, there's not a lot of money in it. But the problem is, what we're seeing is that these guys are sometimes used as a hop. And what that means is that they'll get into your phone or into your laptop or into some of your devices to record work information for a much larger attack that's maybe against the organization, not necessarily against you as an individual. Now, saying that, we're still seeing a large amount of retail scams going on. So, you know, on public Wi-Fi, et cetera, where those things are very easily monitored. So think of yourself in a shopping mall jumping onto free Wi-Fi. That's very easily monitored, and those kinds of traffic are basically being recorded to see if guys log into their bank accounts and then take advantage of them. So there is two sides of the playing field that one has to consider.
Okay. Now let's pull it away from the risk to your company, although I hope that's kind of sobered up a few people to be doubly careful, because it's not just yourself you're risking, but potentially ramifications for your company if you compromise their security unwittingly. Let's talk a little bit about individual steps to protect ourselves. There are lots of good deals to be had. There are some people who are lucky enough to have a little bit of spending money to spend tomorrow. There are also people who are going to want to take advantage of essentials offers like nappies and basic foodstuffs and stock up for the festive season. If you're shopping online, Dwayne, talk us through some of the basic, absolutely sort of no-go zones or things to be aware of and things not to do tomorrow.
Excellent. So I think the first thing to consider is that, you know, every business out there, specifically in the retail and in the e-tail section, are looking to claw back some of the economic challenges of the last 9 months, right? Yeah. So they are going to be throwing larger deals across to the consumer base in the hope that they can claw back and recover some of that money that they've lost. From a layman's and from a, you know, you and I kind of natural consumers who are on the hunt for the best deals tomorrow, you mentioned, you know, kind of a month back we started seeing Black Friday deals. I've been seeing them since kind of late August for the first time in years. And I think there's a couple of elements as a consumer to be considerate about tomorrow. The first thing is that, generally speaking, you know, these deals will not come in an email attachment. They'll be on the actual email. So if you're getting an attachment, please err on the side of caution, because they won't generally add an attachment for you to go and download some form of deal list, etc. Mm-hmm. The second thing is your personal email tomorrow will become an absolute bevy of information, and there will be thousands upon thousands of emails scoping around, offering, you know, different retailers, you know, offers, etc. Layer on caution there, and if it's too good to be true, it typically is. Don't fall for something that, you know, it's philanthropic and guys are giving away free airline tickets. No one's that, you know, comfortable giving away everything for free. And if it is that case, rather double check it on the website itself. So go over to the retailer, double check, or just give them a call to make doubly sure. Then lastly, I guess if something's asking you to register for a deal and you know, provide a username and password, try not to use a password that you use on your banking or on your social media. What we see is that, you know, what the first thing that a scam artist will do is take that data and try and run it across all the banking and social media sites to see if they can use the same password to unlock your you know, other profiles, whether that be banking or social media. So just be careful around those as well. And then the last and most final point, free Wi-Fi tomorrow. If you are in the malls, definitely be careful of what you're jumping on, preferably on a secure network that asks you for a password, so that it's a little bit more harder for the scam artist to be able to clone and view the traffic that you are going through on your mobile device.
Okay. Dwayne, somebody's asking on our email whether you have any recommendations around how to pay tomorrow. A lot of people like to shop with the credit card because they've got the option of the chargeback feature if something goes wrong with the purchase. Any tips on payment options tomorrow?
So we had this exact same question in another one, and basically what my answer was is if you're going to be shopping on apps like with the biggest online retailers like Takealot, etc., they generally store your credit card information. If it's all of a sudden asking you to re-enter in your credit card information, I'd rather just double check that you're on the right website, because you might have been, you know, gone through a social media link and you're actually on a falsified website. Mm-hmm. In store, it will be fine. I mean, pay as you normally do. There's going to be really no difference to change any of those habits. But just before you pass with any information, whether it be an ID number, a piece of username or a password, and more importantly, a credit card number, just double check, verify, and keep your guard up, because it will be an absolute chaos and perfect storm tomorrow for these hacking syndicates to take advantage of you. So just add an additional layer of caution and treat everything as trying to get you. I know it's difficult, but that's unfortunately the set of circumstances we live in today.
Yeah. Dwayne, if somebody thinks that they might have accidentally shopped on a fake site and accidentally disclosed a password, etc., is the best thing to do to immediately call your bank and put a hold on accounts? I mean, any other tips?
That in itself is a great answer. So if you do feel that you've just, you know, done a fraudulent transaction or something, you know, just feels a little bit offside, contact your bank immediately and freeze the account. Your bank will also typically step in and actually help you with, via the right channels on how to investigate the matter further. And in many cases, they'll actually help you with that investigation so that you can then raise a case to police. But absolutely, as you mentioned, stop the account, stop the activity, because as soon as they've got access to your card, they are going to be doing other activity with that, like airline tickets, etc.
One last question before we must go to news. Dwayne, you mentioned apps. A lot of the retailers like Zando, Takealot, etc. have developed their own apps. Is there any safety benefit on shopping in the app versus shopping on the legitimate website?
It's a complex answer, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Rather than go to the website, if you've got the app preloaded, it's very unlikely that someone's taken the legitimate application off your phone and logged a falsified one. So if you do shop through an application for Zando, for Takealot, for anything, if you can find the same deal on that application, you're typically in safe hands and you can move forward to the transaction. So in my personal opinion, I would stick with the applications that you've already downloaded and trust, because those will generally be a lot safer than logging onto a website via social media advertisement, etc.
Dwayne Nicol, thank you so much for that valuable advice. Appreciate your input today. Dwayne's a cybersecurity expert with Mimecast. Keep your wits about you and remember that the biggest saving of all is the 100% you will save if you don't buy anything that you didn't actually need in the first place.